Amen. Special to be here with you all this evening. And you all have a special place in our heart. And I look across you and I think about marriage. It's a beautiful thing. It's a marvelous thing. Man on his own could not have created anything so amazing and so marvelous when it's done in the will of God. And so we're extremely blessed. And it's something I think we can rejoice in, something that we can rally around and promote and strengthen. That's my heart here this evening, that we can strengthen those cords and strengthen those things. And I was just thinking here this morning, I don't know if you've all seen businesses advertised where it says they've been in business 10 years, but they have 50 years of experience. And I think about it here tonight, and I wonder how many years of experience there is here in marriage. That's an amazing thought to me. And just the testimony that is. And just I couldn't help but think about that as I think of standing in front of a group of people like this. And my wife and I, and only been married 26 years this summer, which seems kind of small compared to some of you here. And but yet, every one of them have been good. And there's not a single time we've ever regretted marriage. And I'm thankful for that. And just it's such a marvelous thing. I would like to maybe have a prayer before we go any further. But I'm going to ask us to do one thing. If you would take your beloved one's hand, and we can hold hands when we have a prayer. I'm going to ask my wife to come up here with me. Dear Father in heaven, we are thankful here this evening for this opportunity to enrich our marriages, Father, to consider our marriages, Lord, and to rejoice in what you have done for us. And just rejoice in that you have brought people together in such a way, and that through your power we can have a relationship together that is the greatest, one of the greatest things on earth that man can experience here outside it, within your power and your will, Father. We just we're thankful for that, Father. And Father, as we look into some things here this evening, Lord, we pray that your presence would be here. We pray for your blessing upon it, and Lord, that we can somehow be enriched by your words and by the truth of surrendering ourselves one to another. Lord, we do thank you for this. Help us, Father, to continue to prefer one another above another and above ourselves, Father. And we do thank you for that. Lord, we just pray for your blessing upon our time here. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm thankful for some of the thoughts that have already been shared here just a little bit. When we think about the preferring one another, I saw here on the board right here, preferring, my eyes aren't very good here, but just that, I don't know how many of you noticed back here on the board there, a scripture verse there about preferring and affection. And so I would just like to look at the scripture just a little bit here to start with, just kind of a foundation, and look at a couple of references in the Bible where it talks about preferring somebody. Now, I'm not going to go into the Greek and Latin and Hebrew of the words, but just as we in the English language know preferring, and just some examples in the scripture. And one of the first ones I'd like to turn to would be in Esther. Esther chapter 2, and I'll read it. Just a couple of verses there. This is when King Ahasuerus was looking for Vashti. He had kicked her out, so to speak. And so in Esther chapter 2, verse 8, it says, "So it came to pass when the king's commandment and his decree was heard, and when many maidens were gathered together unto Shushan, the palace, so the custody of Haggai, that Esther was brought also unto the king's house, to the custody of Haggai, keeper of the women. And the maiden pleased him, and she obtained kindness of him, and he speedily gave her things for purification, with such things belonged to her, and seven maidens, which were meet to be given her, of the king's house. And he preferred her and her maids unto the best place of the house of women." And I just want to use that word preferred there. He preferred her above the maidens and everyone else that was there. She was honored. She was blessed. She was given the finest there was to offer. And she was valued over everyone else. She was preferred. She was valued. She was held up. She was given the best. And I just want to think about this a little bit as we think about preferring one another in our marriages and what that means. And again, I want to read a verse here in Psalms 137. And I'm taking some of these out of context a little bit, but I just want to look at the meaning of preferring one another here just a little bit. Psalms 137, verse 4, it says, "How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land?" They're in captivity here. "If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth, if I prefer not Jerusalem over my chief joy." So he's saying, I am going to prefer Jerusalem over my chief joy. Let evil come upon me. Let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth if I do not prefer. So we think about prefer. It is the highest thing over my highest joy. So we consider preferring one another and preferring our spouse, our wife, our husband, and think about preferring one another in a marriage. And we can go on to Daniel here. Verse in Daniel where the king preferred Daniel because of his spirit. And he was preferred above all the presidents and the princes because of his excellent spirit. And he was valued above all others. He was to be put above all the princes. He was to become chief because he was preferred. I'll just continue to think about this as we prefer one another in our marriages between our beloved. We prefer one another. We want to take them up, make them chief. And we know where John the Baptist, he said, I'm going to turn to that one here. I'll just read that when he was referring to Jesus there. He said he was unworthy to latch the shoes on Jesus' feet, he was unworthy to tie the shoes on Jesus' feet there. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, "This was a he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me." And there's a little bit of a different meaning to that word, but preferred before me, for he was before me. And then again in verse 27, he said, "He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose." And it's a sense of unworthiness. We prefer somebody else. We're unworthy, but we want to hold that. We value that person. And so we value that person above all things, and that is our chief joy. It's who it is. And so as we think about a marriage and we just think about that relationship between us, preferring one another, what that would do, what that does. Our marriage is a gift, not just to the two of us, but it's a gift to the world and to the people around us. Our marriages are not just about us. Our relationship with our beloved is a responsibility that we have in determining our beloved's eternal destiny. The scriptures even say, Paul talks about, "For thou knowest," this was obviously with an unbelieving husband or unbelieving wife. It says, "For thou knowest, O wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband. Or how knowest thou, O man, whether thou shalt save thy wife?" It's a sense of responsibility we have toward one another. Just a thought I want to throw in there. Ecclesiastes says, "Live joyfully with the wife of whom thou lovest all the days of the life of thy vanity." And then it goes on, explains vanity. But live joyfully with the wife. We are building a marriage together. We are building a legacy. We cannot hide the condition of our marriage from our children and how we relate to our beloved. And I would just like to this evening, and you can correct me on this. I appreciate each one of you, but instead of me calling husband and wife this evening, I want to relate to them as beloved. And so if you catch me sometime, don't be afraid to correct me and say, "Brother Philip, you didn't use the word beloved." Because I think we need to relate to one another in a relationship as beloved. It's more than just a husband. It's more than just a wife. It is a husband and wife. I don't want to take away from that. It's our beloved. It's precious. We preferred it above all things. We preferred our beloved above all things. It's a beautiful thing. And so I would like to, a little bit here, lay out a, just a thought of mine here is, I'd like to lay out our marriage as a bit of a building. Okay? We have a foundation. Christ is the foundation of our building. We have a marriage. We have studded walls. We have rafters. We have the main components of a building. We know what it looks like, what it makes to make up. So in our marriages, in our homes, we have the duties of the wife, the duties of the husband, and the wife, you know, she does the laundry, she cooks the food, she does all these things. The husband, he goes to work and he does his thing. And we can have a structure, we can have a marriage that everything seems to be working right. And it seems to be like everything is in place, right? The husband does his job, she does her job. And it makes me think a little bit of this. I had a customer I was working with, and he was kind of pleased that he had been married for 20-some years, and he was still happily married. And he was telling me how he's been so successful in his marriage. And he said, you know, he said, I've learned what we've learned, he said, is I let her do her thing. She does whatever she wants. I do whatever I want, and we don't bother each other. Wow. Yeah. That's not marriage. I mean, that's not the kind of marriage we're talking about tonight. That's not preferring one another. That is not. And so we can have a structure. We can have a building that's all you have. And it might look like it works. But what I want to talk about this evening here is what I'm convicted of. Let's put some braces in this building. Let's put some braces in it. Let's put some fasteners in it. So when storms come, when things come, it's going to stand. And it's not just about doing something. You know, I built a building here recently. I didn't build it, but I had a building built. And when we were looking at the design on it, we knew we were going to put some bracing in. They told us we'd have to put some bracing in some places. They call it, I don't know, hurricane bracing or something. Some of you builders know what I'm talking about. I didn't want it. It was going to be in the way. And he says, well, I said, well, is there any way we can do without these things? Yeah, we can. We don't have to put them in. But, and we all know. So I said, okay, put them in. And so I look at those things every day. And I think about it every day. And that's actually what brought me to this thought here a little bit. And I think about that bracing. I'm like, okay, when I'm in sitting in that building and I get that big 50, 60 mile an hour wind gust and there's 8 inches of snow on top of the roof, I can think about that brace. Be thankful for that brace. And so I'm thinking about this building now. We can put braces on. We can put gutters on. We can do all these things. We can put insulation in it to protect the building, to protect the structure, to keep it from rotting away over time. Things, you have water leaking in over time, it rots it out. First thing you know, you have a rotted out building. There's a whole lot of little things that we can do to help that. And so I would, I'm going to pick at a few things here that I would like to, I'd like to work on. And I might talk about my wife just a little bit here. I don't know how much I will really. But if I do, it's because of this. When have you sat down with somebody you didn't know and you talked with them and you found out really quickly where their interest was? Right? It's what they wanted to talk about. Now, I'm going to show off a little bit maybe tonight. But it's okay, right? So if I do, it's because I really do prefer my wife. And I hope it's more than just tonight. So I want to talk about some things here that I've been convicted of a little bit and some things that that let's put up as bracing and let's drive these nails in tight. Let's put them up together. Let's do this together. Our beloved in us. Our beloved in our, whether we can put up this bracing and our building structure, our marriage structure here. And some of these things you're very familiar with, but I think it's just things we need to strengthen. At least for us, just to strengthen these things. I want to start with the brace called appreciation. And the things I talk about here underneath appreciation is going to be our fasteners. And we can drive them in together. Your beloved and you, my beloved and I. And I will say, that my beloved is much better at some of these things than I have been. I'll have to admit, I've just, yeah. So appreciation. How do we show appreciation? Say it. How do you communicate anything else? Let's just say it. Tell her you appreciate it. I'm going to use a lot of hers here. Tell your beloved you appreciate it. Say it out loud. That's how we're heard. It's our fastener. I don't want to miss out on respect in this appreciation. I think some of these things flow together, but it's respect. How about appreciation through a thoughtful card or note in your beloved's lunchbox? How about a thoughtful text? How about a text to your beloved? Sometimes they aren't even expecting it. My beloved has done that with me before. It's always a pleasant surprise. These are the fasteners that we can drive in this appreciation. We can fasten this appreciation brace to our building. A thoughtful card or note. Compliment your beloved. Text her some fuzzy wuzzy things that make her feel good. They are real though. They are real and they are fat and they are real. Compliment your beloved. Even in front of other people. Hold her up. Value your beloved. Let's value them. Let's prefer them. Let's give them the best that there is. Cater to the preferences of your beloved. We all know, we should be knowing, some of you are married less than others and you're learning your beloved's preferences. Cater to her preferences. They appreciate it. It's appreciation. It's respect. It's preferring your beloved. Show an interest and enthusiasm in the things that your beloved is interested in. Be interested in the things that they are interested in. Take an interest in their things. Take time out. Take an interest in those things. The list could go on, and I'm not going to give. Keep your thoughts going on these things as ways that we can show appreciation to our beloved to strengthen that marriage that they know we care, to give that bond, and to stiffen the structure, to stiffen it and make it stronger. So when difficult times come, they know, you know what? My beloved cares because he does this for me. My beloved is thoughtful of me, appreciates me. I know I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. I'll give her the benefit of the doubt. Value your beloved. Philippians 1:3 says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. I'd like to pull that into our marriage. I thank my God for every remembrance of you. That's appreciation for our beloved. When we can, thank God. Every time we think of our beloved, thank God for her. Another brace here is called, I have listed as thoughtfulness. And I realize that thoughtfulness and appreciation can maybe go crossways. But you know what? Let's add another brace. It's not going to matter if it's pretty close to it. Let's add another brace. And let's fasten it tight. Call them up when you are away from your beloved, especially if they had a difficult project, assignment, or job that day. Show that you care. Especially when you know they have a difficult thing going on that day. Call them up. Let them know you care. Be thoughtful. Keep them in your mind. Know that they know that you are thinking about them and you're not ignoring them. Call them up when you are away. Now, I'm making these things like a list. I don't want it to be a list of check mark, check mark, check mark, check mark. I got these things. But these principles, they're principles that we have to wrap our arms around. We have to drive these braces in, fasten them down. Delight to serve your beloved. Delight to serve your beloved. Be an eager giver. Delight to serve your beloved. Be an eager giver. Thoughtfulness, the brace of thoughtfulness. Drive that one in. Care about the things that they care about. Care about the things that they care about. Their interests, their cares, just thoughtfulness that they know that you care about them. If you have children in your home, offer to do things that your beloved usually does. You know, we kind of get in home sometimes. We do, where we have, you know, that's your assignment, that's my assignment, your assignment, my assignment. There's no boundary there. There's no wall there. Let's cross over. Do something. Do something. Be thoughtful. Even if you have children at home and it's been a hard day for her and maybe supper's not ready and the children are not doing how to having such a great day, opportunities abound. Thoughtfulness. Now, mind you, I'm coming from the husband's point of view here. I know where the weaknesses are in my own home, so it goes both ways. But that's my perspective. Remember important dates. For some of us, that's a little harder than for others, but those things are important to our beloved. Remember important dates. Pray for each other. Pray for each other. And, you know, I think about that when I ask us to hold our hands. That's something my wife and I have done for a long time. And it's tremendous. Because when you're holding hands, there's something special about that when you pray. That it's not just my prayer. It's not just her prayer. It's our prayer. It's our prayer. Not just mine. It's not just hers. It's our prayer. To pray for each other. Pray for each other. I have a brace here that's one of my favorites. Probably one of my weaknesses, but my favorites, and it might encompass some of these ones. It might be a brace that's pretty close to some of these others. But it is, and my beloved is good at this one, and it is, she set a lot of examples for me. Tenderhearted. Tenderhearted. Kind and compassionate, forgiving and understanding. There's a lot of fasteners here. This is a big brace. This is a big brace, and it has a lot of fasteners. It goes a long way towards stiffening this building up. Ephesians 4:32 says, "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Tenderhearted. Be ye kind. Be nice. Communicate. Relate to your beloved like you want to be related to. Communicate. Communication is key. Helps with misunderstandings, and it will strengthen the building. And I'm going to say this, and I might say it again later. Talk to your beloved. Don't talk at her. Talk to your beloved. Don't talk at him. But talk to him. Vision says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." Edifying, or build up, to reinforce, to edify. Communicate, to edify. Sometimes that can be talking about difficult things. We all know that. That can be difficult things. But it builds up. It edifies. Be transparent. One to another. And men, this can be a tough one for us sometimes, thinking about tenderhearted. It's easy for us to be rough and tough and not to be so tenderhearted to our beloved sometimes. Our beloveds have so much to offer us, but sometimes we squelch it with our lack of tenderness. Sometimes we squelch it with our lack of tenderness. We are busy and we have things to do, and we get impatient. Maybe we are stressed about something and we give preference to it rather than to our beloved. Tender-hearted. give preference to our beloved. To make them higher than anything else. This is what God has called us to. Tenderness is gentleness. Tenderness is kindness. Tenderness is sensitivity to feelings and emotions. Try to understand what our beloved is experiencing. This is godliness. Give your beloved a hug in the kitchen while she's preparing supper. Tenderness. Can we do that? A kiss doesn't hurt either. It's an extra fastener. Whisper something special in her ear. Tenderness. Care about her. Being tender toward her. You know, some of us have been raised in homes. I don't know all of our backgrounds specifically. Some of us have been raised in homes maybe that are, you don't show your emotions. You don't, you know, everything's kind of, you know, just kind of, it's kind of the way things are. And, but as people, we need that. We need those emotions. We need that tenderness. We need to express it. We need to communicate that to one another. That's how we hold each other up. That's how we know that we are the preferred one in our relationship. It's nobody else. It's you, beloved. It's you I care about. I give preference to you. And then I'll say to the sisters, I said to the men and sisters, you may not understand what your beloved is going through or the stresses that he is encountering at work or in the church. Be tender toward him. Show you care. My beloved sometimes will just come up to me if I'm sitting in the office and put her arms around me and scratch my back. She doesn't even have to say anything, but I know she cares. She's tender toward me. She's tender toward me. And we can do the same, man, to our beloved. You can take that as far as you want to take it. I'm not putting limits on that. Our children need to see us being tender toward our beloved. Our children need to see us being tender, tender-hearted, and caring. A kiss, a hug, playful looks. This marriage is no secret, and we need to protect and secure it fast. From the elements. We're not here to hide anything. We can let our children know we love each other. You know what? I think our children will be a lot more secure when they see us doing that and they know we do that. Our children will be much more secure. Knowing that they have parents. Knowing that they have parents that see each other as beloved. And parents that prefer one another. Another part of being tender-hearted is forgiveness. Appreciate that being touched on this evening here already. Forgiveness. When we are tender toward someone, toward our beloved, it will be easy to forgive. And it will be easy because we know they care about us and they're tender-hearted toward us. I just love the word tender-hearted. I love all the things that encompass in tender-hearted. That's a tremendous brace. And we can drive these fasteners, hold that thing fast. When we are tender towards something, we protect it, we favor it, we prefer it, we elevate it. How many of you have had a wounded leg or arm or something, and it's tender, or you have it's tender, you protect it, you favor it, you do everything you can to make sure it doesn't get hurt. That's being tender toward our beloved. Tenderhearted. Let's protect it. We elevate it so it doesn't hurt. We keep it up. We do everything we can to protect it. Tenderhearted. Another brace I have here, and these braces are not complete by any means. It's just some of them I picked out, is being attentive. Or giving your beloved attention. Being attentive. Giving your beloved attention. And some of these might cross over. Look her in the eyes when you talk. Look at your beloved in the eyes when you talk. That's sincerity. That's being attentive. Your beloved loves attention from her, from their beloved. Be a good listener. Be transparent. Be a good listener. Again, I'm going to mention this and again here. Talk with her, not at her. There's a difference. Do we understand that difference? Talk with her or talk to her, not at her. Make your beloved your preference. When you are with others, don't ignore your beloved. Give your beloved the preferred attention. When you are with others, don't ignore. Give them the preferred attention. Make time to talk to your beloved. This is attention they need. We all need this. Take time, attention. Take time to talk to your beloved. Give your beloved attention that something else is competing for. Kind of down the same line a little bit. I'm challenged with this one. Give your beloved attention that something else is competing for. Even, that sounds a little tough here, even if it's the church. Your marriage is a testimony for the church. And if your marriage doesn't need attention, the church doesn't need your attention. Because the marriage is a testimony for the church. I say this, and it's not just the church, it's also our work. We can throw anything we want to in there. But our marriage is, if we don't have a marriage that is strong and will not, that is, we lose our testimony, brothers and sisters. We lose our testimony. I'm willing to be challenged on that one. So, how about the phrase bids for our attention? So I'm gonna tell on this a little bit here. My wife called me up this afternoon and she says, I just did something, Philip, you're not gonna forgive me for. You're gonna have a hard time forgiving me for. I'm like, oh boy. I kind of heard a twinkle in her voice a little bit. She doesn't even know this. But I felt like she was bidding, she was putting a bid out for something there. So I said, so what is it? Well, she was mowing the yard and the clothes were hanging on the line. My favorite pair of pants were on the line. And somehow the mower devoured these pair of pants. And so she was asking for forgiveness for this thing. And that's fine. New pair of pants. I can stand a new pair of pants. It's not a big deal. But there was something else in her voice. She was bidding. She was putting a bid out. She didn't even know she was doing this. But she was looking for a response, some kind of affirmation from me when she said that. She was putting a bid out. You're going to take my bid. You're going to take this or not. You understand that? Look for times that our beloved is bidding, putting a bid out for our attention. When our beloved is putting a bid out for something they need from us. It was a bid. I don't know if I got it or not. Your beloved deserves your attention. And I don't care if you think you are giving more than you are getting. Give more. It doesn't matter. If we think that we're not getting as much as we're giving, give more. More attention. Give more. Our beloved deserves it. She's the preferred one. He is the preferred one. We value them, right? Above all things. Value our beloved. So I have my last brace here. It was already mentioned tonight a couple times, and I was glad that it was. Affection. Ooh. affection. Everything that we have already mentioned could be considered affection. There's different outworkings of affection. Paul addressed the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians. He says, "O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you. Our heart is enlarged. You are not straightened in us, but you are straightened in your own bowels, your insides. Now for a recompense in the same, I speak unto you as my children. Be ye also enlarged." Be enlarged. Be affectionate. From our bowels, from his bowels. Be affectionate. Affection is a work of love and preference, something we hold very high. And so there's different aspects of affection. We have five senses, and we communicate a lot through all those senses. They are real, and we shouldn't ignore them. And I'll get into a little bit the affection and our emotions a little bit later here. But I want to go through a couple other things here. Some of us, I've already mentioned it, some of us have probably grown up in homes or situations where affection was stifled. And we all know there's also appropriate and inappropriate affection. But let's not stifle appropriate affection. Let's not stifle it. Affection stimulates our emotions, but affection should be born from heart of true love. Showing our affection is right. Affection affects our emotional needs and actually influences how we relate to other people and other relationships. And so I'm going to take a little stab at just a few things here that we all might draw lines in different places, and that's okay. But I'll be transparent here. I'll say I probably grew up in a home where affection was probably stifled somewhat. And I think it's good if we can break through some of those barriers and we can show affection. God created us to have affection. He created us to show those things, to share those things. Holding hands in a way of endearment. I don't think it's anything new to us. Holding hands in a way of endearment. Calling your beloved by mushy names. Maybe beloved's one of those names, I don't know. But don't be afraid to call your beloved sweetheart, darling, whatever you want to use. I shouldn't say whatever you want to use, but don't be afraid to show them endearment. They're our beloved above all things. They're dear to us, are they not? Tell your beloved that they are beautiful or handsome. Compliment them. My beloved tells me I'm cute. So I don't know what that means to the rest of you. I like it. It works. Give your beloved adoration. Adore her. Adore him. Adoration. Look up into. Look at him. Adore him. Have fun. Have fun. Make little jokes between the two of you that might even relate to things you wouldn't share in public. Have your own little keywords that you can refer to in public that only the two of you understand, but it communicates affection. Yeah. Affection. A romantic text, a hug, a hand squeeze. Then I have a question for you. Does your heart still skip a beat sometimes at your beloved? Does your heart still skip a beat? If not, I think we need to drive some more fasteners and we need to put some more braces in place. Does your heart still skip a beat? Is this your beloved? If not, we've got to make it really our preferred, our beloved. This preferring one another is adornment. It's endearment. You know, sometimes maybe it's hard to make our heart love someone. Maybe it's not even someone in marriage, let's say. But I thought about that. If it's hard for us to love someone, maybe we ought to just stop loving ourselves so much. If we find it hard to love someone, let's just stop loving ourselves so much. It not only strengthens that passion in your beloved heart, but it does for each one of us as well, all these things. It not when we do these things, we say, well, look at what all I'm doing. No. If we're doing that out of a heart because it's truly our beloved, it strengthens our passion for our beloved as much as it strengthens our beloved's passion for their beloved. It works both ways. The brace that you put in place, it's not just a pull brace. It's a pull and a push. It goes both ways. Jesus lived a life of affection. He cared so deeply. He loved so deeply. He wept. He put others first. He was here to seek His bride, and He gave Himself for His beloved. His church. Jesus had affection for His people. He wept. He suffered. He cared. He loved. What's required out of us? I hope we don't see it as a requirement. I hope we see it as something we get to do, not something we have to do. God gave His beloved for us. God Himself said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Song of Solomon 8:7 says, "Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. If a man would give all the substance of his house for love, it would utterly be contemned." The future, dear ones, is tremendous. Our marriage is a fortress that nothing can break down. A marriage is a fortress that nothing can break down. Let's reinforce it with all these things. Let's reinforce it with God, with His power, with His Spirit. Let's reinforce it. Let's drive those fasteners in deep. Let's put up gutters so we don't have water dripping down and running in and rotting things out slowly. Those things that eat away at our relationship slowly. Secure it fast. I'd like to read a chapter out of Ephesians here, and I'll bring us to a close here. Very familiar set, a couple of verses here. "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word." Love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. Beloved, our beloved ones. Now I'm gonna have a little quote here I'd like to read. For some reason I couldn't get my eyes off of it. I mean, it's a little, maybe it has a little bit of humor to it, but yet there's some reality to it. This is one man, while browsing in a Christian bookstore, discovered a shelf of reduced price items. Among the items was a little figurine, and it showed a man and a woman with their heads toward each other in an endearing way. And there was an inscription on this that said, 10-year anniversary. The man looked at it and he couldn't figure out why it was on the reduced shelf. It appeared to be in perfect condition, yet the tag indicated that it was damaged. Then examining it more closely, on the bottom of it, it said, "Wife is coming unglued." So, what I would like to say with this is, we need to be so in tune with our beloved that we know before she comes unglued. Amen? Before our wife comes unglued. I thought that was just a neat little thing there, but I just somehow we have to be more in tune with our beloved, that we know when she's coming unglued. And maybe we can help glue her back. Or maybe it's the other way around. Maybe we're the ones, husbands, maybe the husbands are getting unglued, and our beloved is helping us get glued back together here on our 10th year anniversary or whatever year it is that we can become together. I'll bring us to a close here. I just want to say that my heart this evening is, I realize that these things have challenged me, myself, but yet I just bring this together because I feel like as a group of people here that I so appreciate each one of you and the testimony of your marriages that I've seen and the examples you've been to us. And somehow I just feel, I just felt like it was a tremendous opportunity for me to just help strengthen our marriage, help strengthen everyone's marriage, because it is such a tremendous asset in the kingdom of God. And that we can, and this is not inclusive. We all know that. This is not inclusive at all. But can we find ways? Maybe we challenge ourselves to find ways to find more braces and find more fasteners that we can drive in together. And I'd like to just make a point of that we can drive these things in together. Your beloved and you. May God bless each one of you.